You notice something, too. They never argued about whether Jesus really rose from the dead. This would have been the perfect opportunity. If Christ had really not risen from the dead, while these guys were conferring with them and debating with them, that would have been the perfect opportunity to say, what are you talking about risen from the dead? We got his body right over here. Guess what? They never argued. It's one of those things that makes you go, So anyway, here's Peter being persecuted, and he preaches this amazing sermon, brief though it might be. And in this profound nugget of amazing, incredible truth, Peter says three things that makes most Christians tremble in their boots whenever they're witnessing or sharing the gospel with somebody. Those three things are this. Number one, he spoke to men who were older, more educated, and had authority over him. Does that ever intimidate you? Witness to your grandfather, maybe? Or witness to your boss at work? Witness to the judge in the courtroom? Gee, Your Honor, I was only giving out gospel tracts. Number one, so they spoke to Christians, not Christians, they spoke to men who were older, more educated, and had authority over them. You know, I've never been on a talk show, but you know, there's guys that I would be intimidated to go up against in a talk show because, frankly, they're just so educated. You know, I mean, they could talk circles around me, even though it's just, you know, a bunch, they have just learned, they've memorized a whole lot of falsehood and lies. Nevertheless, they know their falsehood and lies pretty good, you know, so it might be a little intimidating. So that's number one. Number two, he pointed out the fact of their sin and their need of salvation. Anybody ever get uncomfortable with telling somebody that they are a sinner in need of salvation? Yeah. Sinner. No. Oh, tell me I'm a sinner. I just love it. And number three, he offered Jesus Christ as the only way for men to become right with God. Three things that make Christians tremble in their boots when they share the gospel. Let's look at these for a minute. These three things. Now, they might not be guaranteed to produce persecution, but they are at the heart of a lot of persecution. A lot of times when people persecute you, it's because of one of these three things. Number one, they just think you're a bumpkin. You know, what do you know? Hey, old bumpkin, yeah, religious Bible thumper. Or two, they really don't think they're much of a sinner, and they resent the fact that you call them so. And who do you think you are, holier than thou, calling me, telling me what I need to get right with God? And number three, and I've heard Phil Donahue just get incensed about this, to say that Jesus Christ is the only way for men to get right with God. He said, how dare you? How dare you be so arrogant to say that? That was Phil Donahue right on TV. I was like, dude, man, you know, get a life, buddy. Anyway, we'll cover that. And so these three things are at the heart of a lot of persecution because, frankly, this is the gospel. And the gospel strips away the pride of man. The pride of man is opposed to the gospel because the gospel says, no, you are not okay. And inside, we know we're not okay. We know we need something. And the gospel, frankly, tells us the truth. But our pride will not let us receive that. Our pride says, how dare you tell me what I need? I'm doing fine, thank you. Get out of my face. You know, in fact, and worse. So it goes right to the heart of man's pride and pretense of having everything together, and it lays bare our desperate, critical need for a Savior. That's the gospel. So let's look at this real quick. Number one, how many people are intimidated to witness to those who are more educated than them or in authority over them? Anybody? A couple? Okay. Yeah. That makes you a little nervous. Heck, I'm intimidated to witness to anybody, you know, frankly. But yeah, if they're more educated than me and they've got, you know, 6 degrees versus my high school diploma and, you know, a little post-high school training, it can be a little intimidating. Or if, you know, they are my boss and they could fire me or make life really miserable for me, it might make me a little intimidated to witness to them. So I can understand, you know, that fear, that anxiety. We might tend to feel that we're not in the same league as these people. And God, what in the world do you have someone like me talking to this guy for? I mean, why me, Lord? Are you sure you really want me to share the gospel with this guy? You know? Praise God. But you know what? That's exactly what makes us qualified to witness to these people. Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no flesh should glory in His presence. That's our God. I love our God. How many people ever feel foolish when you're about to share the gospel? That is exactly why you are qualified to do it. How many people ever feel weak when you're about to share the gospel? That's exactly why you are qualified to do it. The more foolish you feel, the more weak you feel, probably the more grace God is going to give you to share that in that situation. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. I rejoice in my infirmity so that the power of Christ will rest upon me. So if you're feeling, if you're up there going, God, I just feel so foolish, man. I feel so weak. You know, who am I? That's exactly why God wants you to do it. Because He will give grace, man, and He will show you great and mighty things in your weakness. Praise God. You know, the gospel really is not rocket science. How intelligent do you have to be? The issue is not some complicated, you know, philosophical, you know, theological thing. The gospel is basically this. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Christ came to save me. That does not take, you know, 5 degrees in a seminar. It just takes what? The Holy Spirit. All it takes is the Holy Spirit, a Christian filled with the Spirit of God, and that anointing comes through you. I mean, how much rocket scientist does it take to know that you're a sinner? Very simple. Gospel is simple. Praise God. It only takes the Holy Spirit in the heart of a Christian who is willing to be used by God to point that out to people, which leads to number two. How many people feel intimidated? Raise them high. How many people feel intimidated to tell someone that they are a sinner in need of a Savior? You know, amen, amen. I mean, you know, let's get real, you know, for real. When I first got saved, and I thought, you know, the gospel tracks we had, you know, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, you know, very powerful little track. But I thought, you know, man, that's a little strong medicine there. I'm going to make my own gospel tract that won't be so offensive. So I made my little sugary, syrupy, sweet little gospel tract, you know, designed not to offend anybody at all. Couldn't possibly in the world be offended by my little gospel tract that I came up with. And I thought, you know, I'll use this thing and lead all kinds of people to Christ. Not. Because that's not the gospel. The gospel, there's no way around it. You know, that doesn't make true converts of Christ. It only eliminates the offense of the cross and makes multitudes of false converts who don't know that they are sinners in need of a Savior, unable to save themselves, and unless they repent and put their faith in Christ, they are going to hell for the things they have done. That is the gospel. So, now, you know, and that's the problem with the modern church is that we're all making our nice little warm and fuzzy gospel tracts, preaching our warm and fuzzy little sermons and doing our warm and fuzzy little services so that nobody could possibly be offended in any way, shape, or form. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. You know, and I love Ray Comfort, the way of the master, him and Kirk Cameron that go out and help people to learn how to share the gospel. He said, you know, if you go up to somebody, a friend of yours, and say, you know what? I have this medicine that I got for you that cures this, whatever kind of disease, you know, I don't know, make up some disease. This horrible, fatal disease, this terrible affliction disease, I've got this medicine, and it's very, very expensive, but I sold my house to get the money so that you could have it. Here you go. Most people would look at you like you're an untrained man, you know, an idiotes. Like, you sold your house? Why? Thanks a lot. But, you know, for what? You sold your house for this? You know, who cares? Why? Because they don't realize they're sick. They don't know that they're sick. You give them some medicine. You say, this will cure this disease. They don't know they have the disease. They're like, you know, okay, fine. I'll put it on the shelf. Have a nice day. You know, bye. But if you were to go up to them and say, you know what? I don't mean to alarm you. But, you know, there's this disease that I've learned about. And there are three symptoms of it that if you've got all three of these symptoms, 99% of the time you actually are afflicted with this disease. And it is fatal in 98 out of 100 cases. And I just wanted to, and I don't mean to alarm you as such, but, and you go through these things, and I think you have this thing, and you go through these symptoms, you're like, oh my gosh, that's me. That's me, what do I do? 98 out of 100, I'm a dead man. And then you say to them, oh, I've got this medicine. It's very expensive, but I sold my house. I love you, and I sold my house to raise the money to get this for you. I sold everything I have, and this is for you so that you don't have to die. Do you think they'd be grateful then? Sure. If they don't know they're sick, they're not grateful. They think you're crazy. But if they realize that they're going to die and you give them what's needed to save them, then they're going to be grateful. That's why we can't shrink from the offense of the cross. Now, you know, Peter was kind of blessed. The Sanhedrin asked him point blank, you know, by what power have you done this, you know? And so he was able to tell them, by the power of the guy you just killed that God raised up. Now, if you simply get in people's faces and say that, you know, you are going to hell. You are such a filthy, rotten, low-down sinner. That will probably spark persecution. I don't know. You know, you may have better luck than me, but I feel like if you just go up in somebody's face and tell them what an awful sinner they are and they're headed for hell, you'll probably get persecuted for that or worse. But if the people came to the conclusion themselves that they were a sinner in need of a Savior, you might get a different reaction from them. And that's why Scripture says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. If you use the law and show them what the law demands of them, and then they realize that they're not fulfilling the law, then they realize they need grace. So before you preach grace, preach the law. And we've said this before. I know I've preached this from this pulpit a number of times. You're probably tired of hearing it. That's a good sign. That means it's starting to sink in. So I'm going to do it one more time just to make it that much more familiar. If you want to convict somebody of their need for a Savior, all you have to do is go to the Big Ten.